Is the news about the coronavirus causing your heart to be in distress? I would not be surprised if it was. It's dominating our news media, our politics, and it's had an effect on all of our lives. Maybe your work hours have changed. Maybe you haven't been able to go into work recently due to this. Not able to send kids to school. Worrying about stocks going down. Maybe there are things that you need to purchase from the store but aren't able to because stock is currently depleted in that item. Even this message is being affected by the virus, the subject matter that we're covering, and also the fact that it's needing to be recorded and put online, which will be a first for me. Won't be a first for me to view a message online. Maybe for you it will be the first time you've viewed a message online. Maybe not. Well, with all of the sudden, unexpected, sharp changes, so much has changed so very suddenly, I wouldn't be surprised if your heart is in distress by these things. I want to share with you today some thoughts from one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 131. I believe that Psalm 131 can help us to develop a healthier way of thinking about not only this big issue, but any and all big issues that would come into our lives and could cause us to potentially fret over them. Psalm 131 tells us of the way that we can have a calm and quiet soul. And it is simply this. We should not occupy ourselves with things that are too great for us. We should instead place our hope in God to take care of those things for us. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will read through God's word together. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask today as we come to your holy word, the Bible, for encouragement, for knowledge, for strengthening, that, Lord, you would grant it to us through what we read. God, help us to grow, to hope in you from this time forward and forever, to rest in you and the knowledge that you are in control and that there is nothing too great and too high for you to handle. Lord, we thank you for your love and care for us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 131 reads, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You know, it is good to read and watch the news to stay informed about the world around you. Sometimes what you read or view on the news might have a direct impact on your life and be something you need to know so that you can make the proper adjustments in your life to address what it brings. Sometimes it might make no impact on your life. It might be unrelated to you. But if nothing else, the news can give us something to pray about and talk about with others. But you know, sometimes when we watch the news, we can find ourselves worrying endlessly about things that we really have no control over. It could be something that's happening in another state or even another country. It could be something that only a governmental leader could change, or it could be something so big that only God can really affect the outcome on the matter at all. On the subject of things that we can't change through worrying about them, Jesus once asked his disciples a question that applies just as well to us today as it did when he first asked it. Jesus asked, "Which of you, by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? The obvious answer is that no one is able, by being anxious, to add a single hour to their span of life. No one ever has. No one ever will. There are many things in this world that you could be anxious about, but by being anxious, we do not find the things are changed. And so if we cannot prolong our life by anxiety, then I would say neither can we fix the economy by being anxious, raise the value on stocks, send our kids back to school, or produce a vaccine for the coronavirus. If we have any power to affect the direction in any way on some of those things, and maybe you do, I don't know, that power does not reside in us being anxious about it. I believe the message of Psalm 131 is very similar to what Jesus taught his disciples by saying that you cannot prolong your life by anxiety. The first verse of Psalm 131, it's a reminder that we should only occupy ourselves with those things that the Lord has called us to occupy ourselves with. We should not occupy ourselves with things that are higher than we are. To do so, in a way, is an act of pride. That's why David says, "My heart is not lifted up by raising my eyes too high on things too great." You know, there are men and women out there who have the resources, the gifting, to produce a vaccine for this virus. But unless one of you has a hidden talent that I'm not aware of, you and I are not those people who will produce that vaccine. It is instead our place to be thankful that God has put people like that on this earth, to pray for them, and trust God, who is the one who gives all insight, all knowledge, and all vaccines. There are many things in life that are within our ability to influence. And this, of course, goes way beyond just this situation with this virus. It's a life lesson. God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us, and he has made each and every one of us very special. And he has placed you, who he has made special and gifted in a unique way, in a particular time and place, right where he wants you, for a reason, multiple reasons. There are things that God has wanted you to do for him, that God wants you to do for him right now, and that God will want you to do for him in the future. It's up to you to have a conversation with God about what those things are that God has put you on this earth to be doing. But there are also things in life that are simply too high, too great, and too marvelous for us to occupy ourselves with. To do so only leads to an upset and an unsettled heart. Even for King David, powerful King David, having much more power and freedom than any president today might have, even King David had things that were simply too high, too great, too marvelous for him to occupy himself with. David could change tax laws when and how he wanted. David could declare wars when and how he wanted. David could declare festivals. David could write treaties. David could determine the direction of an entire nation. But in reading this psalm, we see there are some things that were simply too great and too marvelous for David to change. What were those things? We don't know. But I imagine even King David recognized what all of us come to recognize sooner or later, and that is that there are things in life simply outside of our ability to control. This is the alternative that David offers to us. Instead of being anxious about those things, instead of having a troubled heart about things we can't change, we should instead hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In doing so, we will find that we have a calmed and quieted soul. It's interesting that David uses the metaphor of a weaned child to describe the calm and quiet of his soul while he hopes in the Lord. It's interesting because the process of weaning isn't pleasant. Someone who is being weaned off of something is gradually losing access to something they once depended upon. When a child is weaned, they are weaned from their mother's milk, and that process does not pass without some tears from the child. If an adult is being weaned off of medication, there's usually side effects resulting from the dependence that they once felt on that medication. Well, even so, learning to let go of the things that are too high and too great and too marvelous for us, and to hope in God instead, that can be a hard thing to do. Not worrying about the economy, not worrying about school, not worrying about sickness, it's easier said than done, isn't it? To wean a child is easier said than done as well, but it's necessary and it's worth it. For someone to wean themselves off of medication that they no longer need, easier said than done, but it's necessary and it's worth it. To wean ourselves off the fear of the unknown, fear of things we cannot change, to wean ourselves off of holding on to big and scary things, it's easier said than done, but it's necessary and it's worth it. So how did David do this? His soul became like a weaned child, calmed and quieted, by hoping in the Lord. Why would this help? Why would hoping in the Lord help? Because nothing is too high or too great or too marvelous for God to handle. For King David, and for certainly you and I, there are things that are outside of our control, but not for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. Placing your hope in the one who has the power to do what needs to be done and can be trusted to do what needs to be done, that will lead to a calmed and quieted soul. Trying to assume responsibility in fear of things that are too great for yourself, that's just fearful. But trusting in the one who can do it, that is calming. But you might have to work on it a little bit. Maybe you've heard the Christian phrase before, "I'm giving this issue to God." Here's a phrase that often follows that one up, "I'm giving this back to God." And then you might hear this to follow, "I am keeping giving this back to God. I keep giving it back to Him." Christians can often find themselves in a sort of struggle where they release the thing that they are anxious about, choosing to trust God in this issue and to hope in Him that He will take care of it, only to quickly take the thing right back and begin worrying about it again. That's not what we're supposed to be doing, but I think that is, again, why David uses the word wean. It's not easy to learn to let go. I think that is also why David says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore," rather than simply hope in the Lord right at this moment. Hope in the Lord for the moment is only sufficient for the moment. But when hope in the Lord stops, the calm and quieted soul stops with it. We must learn to hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We must develop the habit and discipline of continual hope in the Lord. You know, most of us, as a result of these changes in policies that are coming out, I believe are finding ourselves with more free time than we've had in a long time. An advantage of this extra free time is that you and I have an opportunity to spend some extra time developing our relationship with the Lord, learning to hope in Him more. That extra time could be used for fear and anxiety, or it could be used for growing in our hope in the Lord. One leads to a distressed soul, one leads to a calmed and quieted. I think one of the best ways to renew your hope in the Lord is to spend some time considering how great He is and praising Him for those things. Consider the universe that God has made. How great must His power and intellect be to make all these things and make them well? Consider that time is not His master, but that He is the master of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is right now the beginning and the end. How unstoppable He must be. Consider the many provisions that He has made for you in this life, the many ways He has shown His care, how loving God must be. Consider the many times that God has answered your prayers and helped you and been there for you. How trustworthy God must be. God is fully worthy of our hope from this time forth and forevermore, and learning to hope in Him for all of life's difficulties that are simply too big for us, this will lead to a calmed and quieted soul and a more pleasant life. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask that You help us to trust in You and to hope in You now and forevermore. Lord, we recognize that if we are not actively hoping in You, then our hearts can become easily distressed by the things of life. So Lord, remind us of who You are in the coming days. And Lord, help us to see Your great power, Your great worth, and how trustworthy and able to be hoped in You are. And Lord, help us in this. Lord, we love You. We place our hope in You today. In Jesus' name, amen.